RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today, coming to you the day after Christmas. Hope everybody had a phenomenal holiday and some good time with the loved ones, of course. But as always, plenty to get to baseball-wise here as the offseason rolls along. Not a ton of moves like we saw in the last couple of weeks, but definitely some things to note for sure that I want to get to here on the podcast. Some moves with the Phillies, some moves just around baseball that I think can affect the Phillies as well. So definitely want to touch on all those things. We did have the Matt Strom trade, which in last week's pod, if you know, you listened, we said that was probably going to be something that happened in the near future. It just felt like it between the rumors we saw going around and how Dave Dombrowski kind of went after Matt Strom to end the season. Unsurprisingly, he gets dealt to the Kansas City Royals, but the return I thought was interesting, and I'm going to get to that right here to start. But going to talk about that, going to get to JT Realmuto and the ongoing free agency saga with him as he is still unsigned out there on the free agent market. Going to get to a couple of reliever signings that the Phillies made, just a couple of acquisitions, and some other deals across the league. Of course, Jeff McNeil is no longer a Met. The Mets are getting rid of all of like my least favorite players from that team, whether it was Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil. Like, they're going to almost turn me into a fan here. Of course, I'm joking. But, I mean, they're getting rid of all the guys that I really disliked. I never really disliked Soto. Didn't really ever dislike Lindor, going back to his Cleveland days. So, yeah, the Mets getting rid of all the guys I seem to hate here. So, want to get into that as well. And we'll end it with some World Baseball Classic hype, because I'm getting really excited for this tournament. Bryce Harper commits, Kyle Schwarber commits. So really exciting stuff there on the WBC front. Want to get to just a couple of the rosters that are going to be ridiculous, whether it's the U.S., whether it's Dominican, Japan. It's going to be a pretty exciting tournament. So looking forward to that for sure as that comes in the month of March. So going to start with some Phil stuff, though, because the Matt Strom trade, as I mentioned, was something I think we all saw probably coming after the season once Dave Dombrowski, in his postseason or his season-ending press conference there, obviously everybody sort of directs the attention towards what was made of Bryce Harper and how he basically indicated that he wasn't sure if he was going to get to an elite level ever again. I think that sort of distracted everybody from the fact of Matt Strom clearly did not end the season on good terms with the Phillies. Whether it was with Dombrowski, whether it was with Thompson, whether it was with the locker room, there clearly was some disconnect there, and that stems from the comment where Orion Kerkring, clearly everybody knows how the season ended, and he was asked about Matt Strom was PFPs prior to the postseason, and Matt Strom said they didn't do any PFP work, which is pitchers fielding, of course. Then Dave Dombrowski is asked at the season-ending press conference about that, and he basically is like, you know, we did them, but Matt Strom did not do them, and basically just called him out. So I think after that, everyone got a pretty good sense that Matt Strom was not going to be on the Phillies anymore. And with his $7.5 million that is now freed up, That is a portion of what you would hope can sign a big name player. And whether that's Bregman, whether that's Bellinger, whether that's, you know, Bo Bichette, of course, who we've mentioned a couple times on the pod in the past couple of weeks, I think that that is the first part of freeing up money to potentially go after one of those guys. Now, Alec Bohm's got $10 million there. If you get off Taiwan Walker, maybe for half the money, that could be another $9 to $10 million there. So I think that they have some interesting options, and I'm curious to see the route that they go down, especially with JT still in the free agent market, and everyone sort of presuming that they were going to sign him throughout the entire offseason. And frankly, a lot of the national people still say, you know, JT Realmuto to the Phillies seems like a done deal still. Not a done deal, but still seems like something that's probably inevitable. I sort of push back on that, and I think the Phillies could get really creative here and do some interesting things as the offseason goes on. But with the Strom trade, they get Jonathan Bolin. I don't know exactly how you say it. But right-handed pitcher from the Royals, who was a second-round pick at one point, but sort of didn't have the stuff in Kansas City to sort of stay there as a starter. And I think that he presents something interesting in terms of being a potential swing guy in the rotation to be somebody who can pitch five innings and eat some for you if you got guys hurt or if you need it when pitchers potentially need some extra rest there. And if you're missing Wheeler to start the year, that could play a factor as well. But, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the return, I'll be totally honest with you. And look, I don't think a non-closer with 1 year of control left is somebody that's going to, you know, get you some giant haul. Even though Matt Strom has been a pretty productive pitcher for the Phillies over the course of his, you know, tenure in Philadelphia. But I don't think that was going to get you a haul, but I thought they could potentially get more than they got. Maybe a prospect that was a little younger and had some, you know, was a little more raw, but could potentially, you know, be developed in the system and be somebody who helps them in the future. Now, the interesting things about Bolin is he has 6 years of control with the club left, which you love to see, of course, which is somebody who, if he succeeds and if Caleb Cotham is able to get him right, he'll be here for a while. You don't have to worry about him potentially developing here and then leaving to go somewhere else. But he is out of minor league options, which I don't love, because if you try him out up here and it doesn't go well, then you can't really send him down for any tweaks or adjustments. You kind of have to figure it out on the fly up here and use a roster spot. So I do expect him to be on the opening day roster. And if, again, Zach Wheeler is not ready to go, he could fill into that last starter role and they could see if he can maybe stay in the starting rotation. Because a lot of the, you know, baseball data and number experts believe that he could potentially be a starter despite coming out of the bullpen for the most part in Kansas City. So I'm interested to see if they can lengthen him out in spring training and get him going as a potential swing starter to begin the season. But at the end of the day, this was something that made the team worse right this second, because you lose a guy in Matt Strom who pitched a ton of innings coming out of the bullpen for the Phillies. It felt like he was coming out of the bullpen every day for them. And now from the left side, I mean, you have Jose Alvarado, who you don't know how he's going to bounce back from last year, where he starts out great, then gets busted for the PED thing, comes back, is not as strong. And who knows if his, I guess, dip in velocity was because of the performance-enhancing drugs, or if it was just because of the, you know, lengthy rest that he had throughout the season last year with the 80-game suspension. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to monitor, just how they go about the lefties in the bullpen and if they acquire somebody else this offseason. Because I think Tanner Banks, while he's done a really good job, those have mostly been in low leverage spots, and he's still not a big swing and miss guy, to where Matt Strom, look, he still was at a 91, 92 mile an hour fastball, but with his length and with his deception and with the spin on the fastball, I think that was sort of what made him such an effective pitcher at times, to where he could keep guys off balance despite not being a super high velocity guy. And they kind of don't have that anymore from the left-handed side. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if they fill that lefty bullpen role in this offseason. But they do get off the $7.5 million. And potentially, if you get off Bohm, if you can get off somebody else next, Nick Castellanos, you're probably going to have to eat that money. So I don't think you can hope for that. But if they can get off of somebody else, that is where a Bo Bichette, a Bregman, somebody like that could come into play for the Phillies there. So interesting stuff with the Strom trade, but ultimately I do think it's something to where he just sort of soured among the clubhouse and was somebody that the front office and the team alike probably was not going to have around next year. So next thing I wanted to get to in regards to the Phils is the whole JT Realmuto situation right now, because it's being reported that JT has had an offer out to him for a little while now. I'm going to guess, and this is no reporting, just pure speculation, that it's probably a two-year deal, and he and his team want a three-year deal. And I just don't think that's smart at the end of the day. I think maybe a two-year deal with the club option is probably going to be the way to go. But if JT and his team feel disrespected by the offer, I mean, what do they want the Phillies to do to improve the team? Because if you give JT this $15 million or so right now, like, you're probably handicapped from making any more moves. And you're probably unable to go after any of those guys that I just mentioned before. So that's why I hesitate to bring JT back. And I just think you could do a lot of interesting stuff with that money. And if you potentially are in the market to get a Bo Bichette or a Bregman, you bring in one of those guys using a lot of that money, and then you can go and trade for a catcher. Where JT, I understand what he provides defensively, and I understand what he provides for a pitching staff, but there are guys out there who can give you that type of production from a defensive standpoint behind the plate that I think could mirror at least some similar offensive, you know, output that JT gave you last year. Victor Caratini is a guy that came to mind for sure right away. And I think that, you know, the Houston Astros last year, they have Yonner Diaz down there, so they have a catcher. And Caratini was playing actually a lot of first base for them. So he's defensive, he's, you know, versatile defensively. So he could get Bryce off of his feet a day if he wanted to, similar to how JT did at first base. It's a couple points there. So I think he's a name to look out for. He could be somebody that could be on the Phils trade radar. I've mentioned Ryan Jeffers before. While I don't think he provides the defensive sort of upside that JT does, I do think that with the ABS system coming and with, you know, already a good, talented pitching staff, I think that they could manage to figure it out. And adding that bat in the lineup, whether it's Bregman or Bichette, is going to ultimately be something that provides more value to the team. And another name that I've seen thrown out there a little bit that I would be pretty interested in is Shea Langeliers of the A's, former top prospect with the Braves, came over there in the Matt Olson trade a few years back, and somebody who's had a lot of pop from the catcher position that I think would be a great fit as a right-handed bat in the Phillies lineup. So I think those are some options you could go. And if JT is going to continue to play chicken with the team and try to get 3 or maybe even 4 years as opposed to the 2 that they're probably offering, like, I am at a point where I am okay moving off of JT. And you brought Kyle Schwarber back. You have brought a lot of the guys back that have been on this iteration of the Phillies over the past few years. Why not shake it up a little bit and bring in another bat? Like, if you bring in Bo Bichette, you bring in one of those catchers I mentioned, I think you ultimately get better as a team. And you could do it with not necessarily giving up some of that payroll that you're trying to, you know, just not totally go over where you were last year. And I understand that from a John Middleton perspective. He just gave Kyle Schwarber a huge deal. Like, you don't need to give JT Realmuto an over-budget deal to where you're paying him for the next 3 years at a number you aren't comfortable with. So I think it's interesting on the JT front how that all shakes out, because it does feel like a lot of the national people and even a lot of the local people think that it's inevitable that JT Realmuto is back as a Philly. And I sort of hesitate on that. I don't know exactly where the negotiations are at right now, but it does feel like JT is stalling from a perspective of trying to get his market up and getting that past the two-year deal, which I don't want to do. I don't think the Phillies want to do. So should be sort of intriguing to see how that all plays out.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. and T's apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, how the agents deal with it and how the front office deals with that as well. So a couple of other Phillies moves that I want to talk about before I sort of get to the moves around baseball. Zach Pop, former Marlins reliever, signs a one-year deal with the Phillies. Think it's interesting the route that they're going on this offseason. Before I get to that point, I'll just go over the other signing. Yeah, Zach Pop, one-year deal. Righty, had some stuff with the Marlins. They also got Kyle Backus, who was a funky lefty for the D-backs, who wasn't great numbers-wise last year, but definitely has an interesting delivery, and I'll be sort of, you know, looking out for what Caleb Cotham can do with him and if he could maybe, you know, fix a couple things mechanically, but still sort of keep that funky arm slot and do something with him there. So I don't think that's a Matt Strom replacement per se, but I think it's something to where they maybe see some similarities and could tweak some things with him to potentially get him towards that level. But I do think, like the Philly strategy, and I like the front office's strategy of just throwing a bunch of darts at these, you know, relievers who have some upside and from an analytics perspective, sort of fit the mold of somebody who Caleb Cotham can turn into, you know, a Jeff Hoffman or another guy who's developed, even Matt Strom, who's developed once he's gotten here. So I think that if you throw a bunch of those darts and one or two of them land and they are able to sort of make something out of nothing, then that is where you sort of get the value in relievers, and that's letting your development system and letting your player analytics system work itself. So I like the idea there, but again, I just don't know going into next year if, and I love the Brad Keller signing, as I mentioned last week, so that fills that righty spot. They're great from the right-handed side between Duran, Brad Keller, and Kirkery now, but just from a lefty perspective, I think it is going to be imperative that they at least throw one or two more of these darts as the offseason goes along to try to, you know, get at least one more arm there from the left-handed side, unless they feel really confident in Jose Alvarado, which I don't right now. I don't know exactly where he's at with, you know, his offseason work and how he's looking velocity-wise and spin rate-wise and everything else. But I do think it's an interesting strategy by the Phillies and one that I think a lot of teams in Major League Baseball try to do. But I think it's something where if they get the depth of the bullpen sort of going here in addition to the Durans and to the Brad Kellers, then that is where you can sort of build a really good bullpen. Because I will say, before the Matt Strom trade, as I mentioned last week, like the bullpen looked really good on paper. And Strom's a big loss, like no doubt about it, just in terms of what you get from a production standpoint. So I think if they can get one of those guys to maybe fill in that role, and you know, maybe they're not the everyday sort of producer that Strom is, but somebody who you can rely upon a little bit, like a Tanner Banks, honestly. So if they can get one of those guys to get to that level, then I think this pen shapes out pretty beautifully. So we will see how that goes. But yeah, Zach Pop, Kyle Backus, both one-year deals for the Phillies there. So they will be part of the bullpen potentially next year. But want to get to some of the other moves around baseball, because definitely not as busy this week in terms of the free agency market. Not a ton of deals going down, but a couple of interesting trades that I wanted to go over real quick. And I mentioned the Mets. Like, Jeff McNeil, now officially not a Met anymore. And look, Jeff McNeil's production since his batting title in 22 has dipped tremendously. And I was not shocked to see him go from the Mets, because it seemed like, you know, him and Nimmo in the clubhouse didn't really jive with Lindor and Soto and some of the other players there. And it just felt like sort of a disconnect. And ultimately, they were going to probably blow that team up slightly one way or another, just because of, obviously, having one of the biggest payrolls in baseball last year, not making the postseason, and the lineup really struggling at the end of the day. And look, I think that they still need pitching the most of all, and that their pitching staff was probably the thing that let them down the most last year. Senga was hurt for a lot of the year, and those young kids didn't really come up until the very end of the season. But, you know, Jeff McNeil, what a fall from grace. Like, he was a batting champion in 22, and then was somebody who Mets fans ultimately ended up hating. towards the end of last year and was a really, you know, fine second baseman. But I think a lot of what the Mets wanted to do analytically, he didn't want to listen to in terms of playing defense. And then at the plate, he just really fell off a cliff there in the last couple of years. So not surprised to see him go, but basically went to the A's for nothing. Went for like a minor league arm that is in, I think, low A at this point. So pretty shocking to see him just totally go from an all-star level player in 22 to somebody who essentially was traded for nothing this offseason. So he's no longer a Met, Nimmo's no longer a Met, and Pete Alonso are no longer a Met. As I was saying in the open, like, those are probably the three Mets that I hated the most out of anybody in recent years, just in terms of the way they play and their dorky attitudes. And, like, I've always had respect for Lindor going back to his Cleveland days. Yeah, Soto's a great player, of course. I like a lot of those young pitchers. Like, Nolan McLean's awesome. They have some, you know, good players on that team. I'll be the first to admit it. But those guys just always sort of rubbed me the wrong way. And now they're all gone. So very interested to see what the Mets do the rest of this, you know, sort of offseason here, because the season started right now. Like, they would be in trouble. I think that they are still probably going to be in the market for one of these big free agents, whether it's Tucker, even though it's probably not a David Stearns type of guy, whether it's Bellinger, whether it's Bichette. I mean, they have an opening at second base now. But I would expect that, and I would expect to trade. Like, whether it's Skubal, I've seen Nick Pivetta in rumors for them, our old friend here in Philadelphia. I would expect them to trade for an arm and sign a bat the rest, or as this offseason goes along. Because if not, they look like a team that's probably in a pause year and a rebuilding year sort of next year after giving Juan Soto, what, 700-some million last year. That seems like an odd sort of move there. So definitely monitoring the Mets situation. But yeah, Jeff McNeil, no longer a Met, now on the Sacramento, Vegas, Oakland, whatever they're called, the A's out there in Northern California. So he is gone from the Mets. And Wilson Contreras, an interesting trade this week as he goes to the Boston Red Sox. In a deal where that wasn't given up for nothing there. I know Hunter Dobbins going back to the St. Louis Cardinals. He was a pretty good pitcher for them in the minor leagues and came up for a little bit last year. And I think he is somebody where when that went down, I saw he was going to the Red Sox. I thought to myself, I guess Bregman is sort of probably not going to come back there at that point because you'll have Contreras that'll be able to play first base. And you can sort of get off of that corner infield power now that you got a little bit of it in Wilson Contreras. So that sort of was my first reaction. I think it's a good move for the Red Sox, but I don't think that they probably still need to sign another bat in order, or an arm, frankly, in order for them to be a real competitor in the AL East with the Blue Jays next year and even the Yankees. But I think it was a good deal for Boston at the end of the day because they get that corner infield pop if they lose Bregman. So it is interesting to see where Bregman's going to go now because I do feel like their markets are falling a little bit. And that is where the Phillies are sort of waiting to pounce on it and become a team that takes advantage of a market that sort of falls. But a lot of these guys just got Boris Klein. So it's really not shocking to see that free agency has gone quiet here. And even with the pitchers, like Ranger. I mean, nobody's really talking about Ranger right now. After, of course, he had a good year last year for the most part. And as somebody who, after Dylan Cease gets over $200 million, you expect Ranger to get somewhere in that vicinity, maybe a little less. But him, Framber Valdez, nothing. After the market seemed really hot on Imai, nothing really there. So we'll be interested to see where the free agent market sort of goes from here. And, oh, one thing I did miss is Murakami signs with the White Sox. You talk about his market totally collapsing as well. He signs a two-year deal essentially with basically a prove-it deal with the Chicago White Sox. I think it was at $17 million a year there. But it's a good deal for the White Sox. I think it's got a ton of upside for them. And he's essentially banking on himself to produce in his age 26 and 27 seasons and then go to free agency again in a couple of years and then get paid out there. Of course, the swing and miss issue was something that was pretty well documented at this point. So it was not stunning to see his market sort of collapse there. But I do think that his market collapsed so much that the White Sox ended up getting a pretty good deal from that. And that's what you hope with the Phillies potentially for Bregman or Bichette. So that situation is going to be one to monitor throughout the remainder of the offseason. So one last thing I want to get to before we get out of here is World Baseball Classic. I'm getting pretty stoked for it. I'm like very excited for the World Baseball Classic coming up in March. If you've seen this, a couple of the rosters here, like the U.S. roster, we'll talk about, you know, Bryce Harper is going to be on the team, which is exciting. Kyle Schwarber will be back on the team. He was on it when they went to the finals in 23, hit some massive home runs for them there. And so excited to see those two play for Team USA. But if you see the Dominican lineup, it is stacked as well. Like, you've got some phenomenal players playing for the Dominican Republic. You've got some great players playing for the, you know, reigning world champions in Japan as well. But if you look at the lineup for this Dominican team, I'm going to read it off right here. The projected lineup for the guys who have committed so far are Tatis in right, Jose Ramirez DH, Vladdy first base, Juan Soto left field, Manny Machado third base, Ketel Marte second base, Julio in center, Geraldo Perdomo, who came off a career year at short, and Austin Wells, a catcher. Like, that is a pretty ridiculous lineup there. And they've got some solid pitching as well. Fromber, Freddy Peralta, Sanchi is going to be in their rotation, which is exciting to see. So, I don't know. Did Chris Sanchez commit yet? I'm not totally sure, but if he's a part of that rotation, that would be pretty exciting there as well. And for the U.S., like, they finally got the arms there this year, which is the fun part of it. They got Paul Skeens. They've got Scooble. They've got Logan Webb. And I just think that with them getting the arms this year, they probably should be the favorite. And, I mean, they have a stacked roster, too. I think it's Bryce at first. You've got, you know, Bobby Witt at short. You've got, Cal Raleigh, a catcher. Of course, Aaron Judge as the captain over in right field. So you've got a ton of exciting players and a ton of exciting talent there in the WBC. And I'm getting really excited for it because it's going to be a crazy tournament. It's going to be really fun to watch. And I know the one in 23 was exciting, of course, with Trey Turner signing and him hitting the grand slam against Venezuela. And then the Trout versus Otani at bat in the final. It's going to be a really exciting tournament. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I'm just itching for baseball again. And if this week Dave Dombrowski and John Middleton, per usual, can get us a move, maybe do something creative, wouldn't mind that as well. So looking forward to all of it and speaking to you guys next week. So thank you, as always, for tuning in. Hoping you're having a great holiday season. And we'll speak again next week. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.